Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. One more Sunday that God has given us to worship together as children of God. And also one more day to live in this world. It's a gift from God. So let us be thankful for the gift of life. Every day is a gift from God. And I wake up in the morning, I look out the window and see the sunlight. I said, thank God for the sunlight. Not everybody that went to bed last night did not see it. Because we are here because of God's grace only. So let us be thankful for that. Thank you all for joining here and also online to worship together. The announcements are listed in the second page in the bulletin. So those are the regular announcements that we have. The food bank ministry continues and the books are still available for sale that benefit our mission work. And our third Thursday luncheon will be on Thursday, this coming Thursday, August 21st at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. And I'm glad to welcome back Reverend Tim Owens and Jenny. Thanks for joining us again today to have fellowship with us. And also, I asked him to preach, and he was very happy to do that. And I'm sure you are also happy to hear from him. Let us look forward to that. Hearing God's word through Tim. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. We accept our donations on our website also. Please take advantage of the various electronic ways that you can donate. Those are the announcements that I have. Oh, we had a lot of figs this time in our backyard. So she made some jam out of that. So it is available here in the bottles. So you can come and get it and make a donation to the church as much as you like. Because we need probably it's $1,000 a bottle. Because we need about $5,000 for the insurance company, right? Anyway, it's up to you. Take it for the feet. Thanks for doing that. I knew she was working hard last night, but I went to bed, so I could not stay. So thanks be to God for that gift that we had. It's a lot of figs that grew this time in the backyard, so we didn't cut it off. So it started growing. Thanks be to God for that. So please take as you need. If you don't want to give, that's fine too. Just take it if you like it. Anybody else have any announcements? Also, welcome Dean and Tori. Thanks for joining us again. We thank you for your presence here today with us. Those are the announcements that I have. If nobody else has any other announcements, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Our music, but it's so.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to gather in your name as your children here and also online to worship you. You are almighty and everlasting. From eternity to eternity, you have been God, who is praised by the angels in heaven and saints around the world. We thank you for this opportunity that you gave us sinners, redeemed by the blood of your Son Jesus Christ, to become your children, to call you Father. We marvel at your majesty and power, O God, and we are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love. Even when we were sinners, you loved us, O God. Above all, thank you for your protection and care, and indeed for all the good gifts that we receive from you every morning. We thank you for your grace and redemption you shown through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world, died, rose from the dead, so that we can have eternity to be with you. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, eternal and ever living. May the services of word and praise we offer today be to the glory of the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Well, it is 368, but it's also on the screen. Jace will browse that also on the screen, so you can follow the screen if you want to. You can remain seated or you can stand as you like. So we will sing that now. My hope is built on nothing less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is sand, all other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. I have seen his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Now we'll read the responsive reading, which is Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10. If you're able, please stand. It is on page 858.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I am with thee.
Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all is in them.
Who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets prisoners free.
The Lord opens eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
And upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord brings the wicked to ruin.
The Lord will regen forever. Or, O your God, O Zion, from a generation to generation.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord of God, the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. During this time, we share our prayers of praises to thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we share our prayers of burdens and concerns together as children of God, uniting in faith. And we also have the privilege of interceding for other people that we can also bring up others' needs during this time. The regular prayer items that we have been praying are listed at the back of the bulletin. Continue to pray for Wayne, and he is recovering and progressing very well. And he said he's ahead of his schedule of his recovery from physical therapy. So that is a good news. Please pray for him, for his complete recovery. And also pray for Carol. And Carol and Wayne, please keep them in our prayers. Pray for Jean McBray. She is here today. Do you mind if I say it's your birthday? I just have to say it. She told me not to say it. but I won't say how many, but happy birthday. Thanks for joining here. It's a blessing always that you are here, that we look forward to. Nobody has excuse when she shows up in church. You better be here. So that is good news. Pray for Grace Ains, Harry Basil, Carol, Harry Crumlin, Eden Bartolo, and all those who are struggling with various health issues. Let us remember them in our prayers. Pray for the people who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, the Johnson family and the Thomas family. Please pray for peace and comfort during this time of grief. So let us also pray for peace in the Middle East and also in Ukraine. As they are talking about various peace talks, let us pray that God will give them the wisdom and the right opportunity to bring out a peaceful resolution to the issues of the problems that we are facing around the world. Let us pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who are working behind the scenes, many people, farmers and construction workers and trash workers, delivery people, many, many others who work behind the scenes to make our life comfortable. So let us not forget their services, be thankful for that, and also pray for them and for their family safety. And pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives. Let us pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions. And they will fear God when they make decisions. Pray for the world leaders, as I told you, that many of them are meeting in various places to sort out the solutions for the various wars around the world. Let's pray that God will guide them with the wisdom and also the Holy Spirit, that they will make the wise choices and decisions. Let's pray for our church. Let us be thankful for this opportunity that God gave us in this community to be a blessing. Let us use that opportunity to share the love of Christ to others who are in need. And also, let us pray for all the churches in coming and around us, that the pastors, the ministers, and many, many works that they're doing, that God will bring out a revival through this work that they are doing in this community. Pray for the world church at large, all the churches around the world, the missionaries in various parts of the world facing opposition, that God will strengthen them with the power of the Holy Spirit wherever they are. Let us continue to pray for them as well. Those are the requests that I have here. Anybody have any special calls to prayer? If there are no other special call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children, seeking and knocking and searching for your love. Thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. Thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, even when we don't deserve them. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you gave eternal life for us through his sacrifice, death, and resurrection, so that we have eternity to spend with you. Thank you again for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and the Counselor that you send us to strengthen us every day in this world of difficulties and problems that we face every day. When we become lonely, you become our friend, O God, and when we go through life's sorrows and grief, you are our comforting peace and place. Heal our bodies, O Lord, those who are looking for healing, especially the ones that we have named in our prayers. Pray for Wayne Clements. Thank you for his healing and continued progress. Strengthen him in his leg so that he can walk without help, and continue to help him, and pray for Carol also. Bless them as a family with your peace and comforting presence. We pray for Jean McBrayer, Grace Ains, Harry Bezor, Carol, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, Yaden Bartolo, and many, many others who have asked our prayers. Bless them with your healing, O God. We know that you died not only for our sins, but also for our diseases. And by your stripes we are healed. We trust in your promise that when we unite in faith, you will heal our sick one, dear ones. Heal them according to your grace and mercy. Above all, give them peace and give their family members peace. We pray for the Johnson family and the Thomas family who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for your peace and loving, comforting presence during this time of their grief. We pray for world peace at this time, especially in the Middle East and also in Ukraine, as the world leaders are sorting out various ways to bring about a resolution to these problems. We pray that you'll bring an end to these wars. Only you can bring lasting peace and change to the hearts of people. We pray that you will intervene and bring peace to this world and bless the leaders as they decide and talk about these things give them wisdom and the fear of God in their hearts when they make decisions. We pray for all of the service workers, our military, fire, police, and we many, many others who are serving us. We thank you for their services and also bless them and their families. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others. We pray for your grace upon them. Above all, they will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that will make right decisions that will unite our country and make the right decisions for economy and the care of our people. We pray for the world leaders also. We pray for our church. We thank you for the opportunity as a small church in this corner of this community to be your witnesses, to spread your love. Help us do it faithfully that with the opportunities that you've given us, Lord. Help us to reach out to the people who are around us in need. Bless us as a church as we look for guidance from you. Pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors, the ministers, and also the world church at large, that you will strengthen them with the power of your Holy Spirit, the ones who are reaching out in various difficult parts of the world with your love and the gospel. Pray that you'll strengthen with your Holy Spirit and give them the courage to preach your word to the people who are in need. Be with us today, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Touch each and every one of our hearts and our souls according to our needs. You know our needs better than ourselves. Bless the pastor today who brings the word today. May your servant speak your word and help us to listen to his word and be empowered by the power of your word as we go from this place. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
For the doxology. For all your continued blessings in our lives. Thank you for this beautiful day. We pray that you bless and multiply this offering to do your will. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here. We were planning on coming this weekend, and I talked to Pastor Matthew, and he was gracious enough to ask me if I wanted to preach, and there was no hesitation at all. I was so glad to do that, and I'm very grateful for the invitation. It's always good to be back in this church. This is one of the friendliest, warmest, most hospitable churches I think we've ever worshipped in. And I mean that. That's saying something. We've had the opportunity since I have been an interim pastor and doing a lot of surprise preaching to be in a lot of churches. And this is one of the most friendliest and open-armed churches that we've been in. So it's always good to be back here. We kind of feel like this is home away from home. So we thank you very much for having us. Lisa, thank you for reading this passage this morning. There's a lot in this passage. There's a lot of word pictures that are here. If you were paying attention, there were, I've counted 8 symbols or word pictures, metaphors, if you will, that convey to us some spiritual truth. And out of those 8 images, however, 4 of them are related to stones. And that's where I really want to focus on today. The way that Peter is using this idea of a stone to teach us an awful lot about who Christ is, and then also something about who we are as the people of God. So what I want to focus on first of all, and honestly we may just spend most of our time or perhaps all of our time here, is the way that Peter describes Jesus as a stone. And there's 3 ways that that word is used here. All of these really speak to us in some way about our destiny as human beings. Someone has once said that Christ is the rock of destiny. And he is indeed. Everyone who is here present in this church this morning or who may be listening online, your destiny, your eternal destiny is going to be determined by your response to Jesus. And Peter lays that out very plainly for us here in this text. So let me give you the 3 types of stones that we see here in relation to Christ. First of all, in verse 4, he is depicted as a living stone. And then he is depicted as a cornerstone. And then finally, and this is the one that is a little more uncomfortable to hear at times, he is a stumbling stone for all who reject him. So I want you to think back in verse... Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much for putting that back at verse 4. And I want you to look there at the first way that Peter describes Christ. He says, as you come to him, the living stone. Now, that's an odd combination of words, isn't it? I mean, you remember years ago, I may be the only one that remembers this. There was this thing about living pet rocks. Do y'all remember this? Yeah, so there's a few folks with gray hairs in here, so that's comforting. And, you know, it was a silly thing. I don't even remember all the context of it, but, you know, people were picking up these rocks, and they said that they were pet rocks, and they were treating them like they were living things. Yet those are 2 words that don't go together, right? A living stone. Or a living rock. But putting those 2 words together kind of make us think about what Peter is saying. You know, there's the term for that. It's called y'all remember anybody what that's called? An oxymoron. You put 2 words together you know, that don't seem to fit. That's a big fancy word for that. But in this context, they do fit. Because what Peter is trying to communicate to us about Christ is very important. That he is a stone, and we're going to see in a moment, he's a cornerstone. He's the foundation stone of our faith. But in order for him to be that cornerstone, that foundation stone, we must understand that he is living, that he is alive. You know, when we come to church and we talk about Jesus, we read the Bible, you know, sometimes it's very easy for us, if we're not careful, to kind of fall into this trap of thinking that we're just here talking about an historical figure. Now, make no mistake about it, Jesus is historical. He came to earth. He became one of us. He lived and died in a human body. He subjected himself to the realities of death. But dear ones, he is much more than a historical figure. He is a living stone. He is alive. I know we can't see him this morning. We can't reach out and touch him. We can't see him with our physical eyes. But it is so important that we be reminded this morning that the one that the church calls us to worship, he's alive. He is a living stone. Peter can only call him a living stone because, listen, he is the one, as the second person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He, like Father and he, like Son, is one who has always had life. He is one who has no beginning and no end. And right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He is ascended, having first descended down to earth to become one of us, and then to die that cruel death on a cross and descend into the region of the damned. The region of the dead. Later in this letter, Peter talks about how Christ went into the region of the dead. I don't know what that's like, do you? I'm glad I don't. Aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't need to be afraid of what that is like, because the Bible teaches that he has come and he has descended into the grave, he's descended into death, and he arose victorious. That's why Peter speaks of him as a living stone, one who is alive. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in the book of Revelation when Jesus appears to John on Patmos. And John's about 90 years old at the time. And he speaks to John. He puts his hand upon him. And John, when he sees this image of Christ, he is afraid. And Jesus says to John, "Do not be afraid. I am the living one. Behold, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore." We've come here this morning to worship a living stone. A God who is alive, who has been raised from the dead, who has defeated death. Are you here this morning worshiping one who is living? We worship one who is historical, but he is more than that. He is alive. Is your faith in one who is alive this morning? I pray that it is. Peter goes on in this text to teach us what kind of stone Jesus is. Not only is he living, he is the cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone. Now, do y'all remember what a cornerstone is in the Bible? A cornerstone in the Bible is much different than a cornerstone that we think about today. And you know, I forgot when I came this morning, I was going to look out on the front of your church, Pastor, and see, is there a cornerstone on this church. Is there? Do y'all have a cornerstone in this church? Maybe not. But, you know, a lot of churches have cornerstones. You know what I'm speaking of? A little stone, it's like a plaque, it's usually in granite, and there's usually engraved some historical information, you know, on this July the 6th, 1948, this sanctuary was built, and this cornerstone commemorates. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, and it usually has the trustees of the church and the date, the prominent members of the church. Listen, that is not the kind of cornerstone that Jesus is. That cornerstone is really just decorative. It is informative. But the cornerstone that the Bible speaks of was the foundation stone of each building. And each building in that day had a chief cornerstone. And it was a stone that was you know, as square, perfectly square as it could be in that day. I mean, we're talking about like in the cornerstones of the temple, they were measured not in inches but in feet, in their height, in their depth, in their length. They were weighed not in pounds but in tons. In fact, I sent the pastor an image to put on the bulletin. If y'all have a bulletin, pick it up for a moment and look. This image is not very good. After I sent it to you, Pastor, I started looking at it, and I thought because of the plants that are shown here, it's not really in scale, but still I think it gives you an idea of the kind of cornerstone that Jesus is. If you look at this image on your bulletin, you look at that large stone right there in the corner. When the temple was built, or when a structure was built in Jesus' time, that chief cornerstone would have been the foundational stone of that building. It would have been as perfectly square as it could have been in that day. And it would have been laid down on the ground. And that would be the starting point, the foundation point of that entire building. From there, all the angles would take shape. And from there, all the stones that were set upon it and set next to it would be connected to it. And that chief cornerstone would be what gave that building stability. In a sense, that entire building, its dimensions, its stability rested upon that foundation stone. That's the kind of stone that Peter is talking about. Jesus is the foundation stone of our faith. And the call of the gospel this morning, hear it, dear friends, is to put our trust upon that foundation stone, that cornerstone. The call of the gospel is to rest yourself on Jesus. It is to put all of your weight upon Christ. That is the call to salvation. Look at the promise that is here in this text. In verse 6, Peter says, and he's quoting from Isaiah here, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him or on him will not be put to shame." Did you hear the promise of that invitation this morning? That if you will entrust your life to Christ, if you will rest your life upon the cornerstone, if you will trust in him, in the end, on the final day, you will not be put to shame. Isn't that a tremendous promise?
Amen.
That when we rest ourselves upon Christ, we are saved from guilt. We are cleansed from sin. We are able to stand before God because of God's grace toward us. Because Christ took the judgment of our sin upon Him. We can stand before a holy God and not be ashamed. Am I the only one that hears that as such great news this morning? That we don't have to be ashamed?
Amen.
Listen, I don't know about you guys. And I'm not going to tell you anything about what it is. But I've got plenty in my life to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Plenty of rebellion. Plenty of sin. Plenty of broken promises. But Christ says to me, and He says to you this morning, if you will trust in Me, you do not have to be ashamed. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you've been there, you do not have to be ashamed. Because of the cornerstone, because of the living stone, because of the One who died for you and for me and was raised again. That is the gospel this morning. That is good news.
Amen.
I feel like I'm the only one smiling here this morning.
Amen.
You should be smiling about the gospel this morning if you have put your trust in Christ, if you are resting upon Him. Now listen, let me try to explain this. I want to go to this last type of stone for Jesus here in just a moment, but I want to try to convey this well. I think, Lisa, I think you read, this is the NIV. Did you read the NIV? I love the way the NIV puts it, because look at what it says there in verse 6. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, I was studying this text out of the English Standard Version, and it says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. And as I was studying this, I looked back into a lot of the other translations, a lot of the older translations. A lot of the older translations render that passage, whoever believes on Him or upon Him will not be put to shame. And the Greek word that is used there, the little preposition, if you look back to the older translations, like the Authorized Version, it is more often than not translated upon rather than in. I love the way the NIV puts it. Trusting in Him. The point I'm trying to make is this. All right, is everybody with me? We're almost done, okay?
Amen.
The Bible calls us to do more than believe in Jesus. The fact that He existed. The fact that He lived. The Bible calls us to believe upon Jesus. I'm kind of mincing words here this morning, but do you see the point I'm trying to make? Do you believe just that Jesus was a historical figure? Do you believe in Jesus because your mother, or your dad, or your grandparents took you to church? Or are you believing on Jesus? Is your trust in Him today? Is your life resting on the cornerstone? See, I'm resting on the cornerstone this morning. Because I know, like we sang this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On the solid rock, on Christ the solid rock I stand. I am resting on the solid rock this morning, because I know my own foundations are built of sand.
Amen.
But there is a foundation under me that will never crush, it will never crumble, it will never waver, because it is the foundation of Christ Himself. Are you trusting upon Him this morning? I pray that you are. I pray that your trust is in Jesus, in Christ alone. Upon Christ alone this morning, I pray you stand. Then finally, and this is the warning that is part of this text, that is a little harder for us to hear. Not only is Jesus a living stone, not only is he a cornerstone, Peter says also he is a stumbling stone. He is a rock of offense. Now I'm saying this today, I hope my tone conveys that what I'm saying in absolute humility. It's not something that I enjoy saying, but as preachers, we must say what the Bible says. And the Bible makes it so clear, dear ones, that for those who do not trust upon the stumbling, the cornerstone, those who do not believe upon Christ, trust in Christ, they will eventually find that he is a stumbling stone. That Jesus will cause them to stumble and to fall into destruction. I know that's not a pleasant truth to hear, but that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me." Jesus says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Enter in by the straight gate." Jesus says, "I am the way." This is what Jesus said. I'm not asking you to believe me this morning. I'm asking you to believe Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me." And listen, many people don't want to hear that. That this is why he was the stone that the builders rejected. Many people don't want to hear that we have to come his way. But his way is the only way, because he was the only one that lived a sinless life and took the judgment for our sins upon himself. There's no middle ground. There's no third way. Jesus will either be your cornerstone, or he will be your stumbling stone. He will be either my cornerstone or my stumbling stone. So we can either rest ourselves upon Jesus and know that we are forgiven and know that our shame has been put away, or eventually we will stumble upon that stone and we will stand before a holy God apart from the grace of Jesus. And that is the broad way that leads to destruction. I ran across a very old quote this week as I was studying. I've never heard it put this way, but I want to read this quote to you. I try not to read too much to the congregation from somebody else, but this is a very poignant quote from a New Testament scholar who died in the past generation, a man by the name of Leonard Gopelt, who was a German New Testament scholar. But reflecting on this idea of Christ as either the cornerstone or the stumbling stone, Gopelt wrote these words. And hear this very carefully. He writes, "Christ is laid across the path of humanity on everyone's course into eternity. In the encounter with him, each person's destiny is determined, either for salvation or for destruction." And then finally, Gopelt writes these words that are very haunting to me. He says, "In the end, one cannot simply step over Jesus." Gopelt is right. You cannot simply step over Jesus. When confronted with Christ, you only have two choices. Rest upon Him and be saved. Stumble upon Him. And in the end, go into eternity without Him. What say you to Jesus? Is He your cornerstone today? Or is He your stumbling stone? I pray you're resting upon Him. Let's pray. I'd like to ask, we're going to sing a closing hymn here in a moment, but I'd like to ask before we do, let's just take a moment and reflect upon the call of the gospel. And listen, if you're here this morning, perhaps you're listening on the internet, what is your answer to Jesus? It doesn't matter what you think about this old preacher. It doesn't matter if you have confidence in me or not. Do you have confidence in the words of Jesus? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Have you ever put your trust in Christ alone? Have you ever, by the gracious working of the Holy Spirit, come to realize that you're a rebel at heart? We all are. There's none righteous. No, not one. If you have never turned to Him and put your trust in Christ and Christ alone, would you simply say in your own words that you want to be saved today by Him? By no one else but by Jesus, the one who died for you and rose for you. Would you call out to Him even now as we pause in a moment of silence? There is a promise that is given to each of us. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you know that you belong to Him, you know that your trust is in Jesus alone, that you're resting upon a foundation that will never be moved away, that will never crumble, that you know that you've been saved, would you just receive the good news of the gospel afresh today? That in Christ you are forgiven. In Christ you are accepted. In Christ you are declared not guilty. And in Christ your shame has been taken away. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing an old hymn of the church. I got to confess, I was singing this song around the house this morning. I'm sure my wife was wanting me to tone it down a little bit. I stand amazed in the presence. This is a great hymn that speaks of the love of Jesus. I'm going to try to stand over here so I won't be any close to the microphones this morning, because I can't help but singing on this song. This is a beautiful hymn. Do you stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene this morning? I pray you do. Would you stand and sing?
Verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for that beautiful message. When all is said and done, when we come to the end of our life, there are only two groups of people, the ones who are saved, the ones who are lost. Everything else doesn't matter. So thanks be to God for the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, that God gave us the opportunity to be part of the living stone built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.